I hope you're enjoying this big exclusive via the Judge Joe Brown Show. Don't forget to subscribe to this channel. Now, back to the show.
Okay. How are you?
Hello, how are you? Excited. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday.
Oh, man, it's at least in a mad rush.
All right, so Ms. Shaw, what we're going to do before I turn it over to judges, I would request that you give us an introduction, and you can include any promotions you like, also your web address, any social media, and then I will have you repeat it at the end of the show. So if you could at this time, I know you got about, Judge, she's got about 30 or so minutes, probably max out at maybe 45, I think, is what I was told. But however... Yeah. You'll let us know, Ms. Shaw, and we'll lean with it, rock with it.
All right, I love it. Lean with it, rock with it. Let's go. I love it.
All right, I'm in a goofy mood. Excuse me. Okay, so if you could go on and do that at this time, and then after that, I'll turn it over to Judge.
Okay. Hello, my name is Bershawn Shaw, international motivational speaker, business life coach, author, and CEO, tech founder of the mental health app, You Are a Warrior. The letter U R A Warrior, W A R R I O R. So glad to be here.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Welcome. Judge, if you could jump right in.
Go ahead. I'm listening. What would you like to tell us, my dear, since you are here with us today?
Well, you know, I am. I would love to talk about where we are in the world, our mindset, our mental health. You know, I'm a stage 4 breast cancer survivor. I was given 3 months to live about 13 years ago, and I'm alive, thank God. And I'm alive because I pushed through and I didn't let my mindset and depression set in and sort of take over my life. Now, I was depressed.
Well, there's a lot to be said for toughness, mental toughness, which seems to be, shall we say, depreciated these days because everybody's supposed to be soft and delicate.
Exactly. I love what you said. Yep, exactly. But the truth is, you guys, the truth is that we're dealing with stuff and we don't want to really talk about it. It's a taboo. And I'm into lifting the stigma up of lifting the stigma so we can really talk about it and get the help we need.
Okay.
And that's my mission. That's my mission with the mental health app. That's my mission with speaking all over is lifting the mental health stigma.
Well,
how do you feel about that?
Let me add this to your mix. 10 years ago, the Defense Department came out with a series of white papers. They said, we can make people physically strong, but we're looking at something that is alarming us, and that is these new recruits are not coming in with mental toughness. They just don't have it.
Mm.
Why do you think that is? I was thinking of that when
I said this, right? Let me tell you why I think this is happening. I think I feel that we are, you know, resilience is a thing that you learn through life, and I think we baby people. I think, you know, everyone is afraid of talking, and we coddle. We don't really tell the truth. So since we don't tell the truth, we don't get the help. What do you think?
I think you're about right. I've noticed something else. When I was a kid growing up in elementary school in summer during the vacation period, we left, took our bikes or walked. Nobody asked where you're going. Just remember, be back before the street lights come on. And we got to be independent. We got into some trouble and got ourselves out of trouble. We became self-sufficient, self-reliant.
Right.
They can't even go out in the backyard without mama hovering because he's worried about some pervert being out there and molesting the children. That
right.
being the case, there is a lack of independence, and everything, like you can see it on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, you can't say anything that makes somebody feel uncomfortable.
Right.
Unless
right.
they, you know, it's like, what time is that? You know, that's not how this works. A lot of stuff ought to make you feel uncomfortable. The preachers don't talk about sin anymore. They talk about just believe, and it's all a rah, 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 feel good, and there's no resilience. There's no toughness. There's no preparation to handle adversity, and as soon as some adversarial situation develops, they just go all to pieces.
You know, I love what you're saying. That's absolutely true. Everything, and don't get me wrong, I'm not about, you know, offending people, but, I mean, life is, what's happening with these young kids is that they're all winners. Like, you go to school, and they're in, like, elementary school, and they come home and they say, we all win, but you didn't win. You didn't all win. That's not life. Life doesn't happen like this. There are winners and losers. You do have to learn adversity. You have to learn how to persevere. You have to learn how to keep going. Life doesn't happen like that. And so what happens, because we're babying our kids, we're babying everyone, no one gets resilience. No one gets that focus and that determination. Look at you. I mean, you're determined. I mean, you're bold. You're confident. Where is that with our kids, with our youth, with everyone? We don't have it.
A 9-year-old kid who's somebody's grandson says, excuse me, my pronoun is they. I looked at this kid and I said, excuse me, young man, I'm not a man. I don't want to be one. I said, well, boy, what? I told you what my pronoun is. I said, look, boy, I don't even remember your name. I don't even think I know it. And if I'm not going to remember your name, then I'm certainly not going to give a damn about remembering your pronoun. If you want somebody to know it, tattoo it on your forehead, and that'll just make you look more stupid than you already are. You know, so where do you get off that everybody else has the lame time to remember your personal pronoun in addition to your name? And besides, that's bad English. You aren't royal, they or we, so I'm not going to say instead of he is coming to dinner, they is coming to dinner. That's bad English. You know? The
exactly.
presumption.
Exactly. I love that. I love what you just said. Exactly. But that's the world we're living in. And I guess, you know what, I want us to start having the conversations. Stop coddling everyone. Stop just like let's talk the truth. Let's stop being scared. You're right. Everyone is now scared to do anything. We can't talk anything to anybody because it's not politically correct. It's not this. It's not that. Like, no one, it's like people can't be themselves. It becomes just a circle of being in the matrix.
Yes.
How do we stop it?
That is a very good way of putting it. And, Miss Valerie, I think you are indicating to me that you've got a question you want to ask. Don't let me hog the show. Don't let me monopolize the woman's wisdom.
No. Listen, I wanted the two of you to have time, that, you know, for some friendly banter. Okay, well, if she could, please talk to us about your tech company, and I'm definitely going to ask you about the Real Housewives of New York. And I have quite a few people who are on the line who want to know about recipes, things that you've done, I'm sure, because of your survivor. You have vegan recipes to share, maybe a few things that you do that kind of contribute to a healthy lifestyle and eating habits. Not in any particular order, but I would like to start with your tech company. If you could share that with us. I was able to peruse and get you know, a couple sites and find out some information. But if you could share that so Judge can hear and ask you a few questions and also our listening audience.
Oh, thank you. So I have an app. It's coming out end of August, beginning of the fall. It's a new way of social networking. It's a new way to get online. So you please, everyone, go to www.urawarrior.com. Again, www.urawarrior.com. It's a mental health app for support. So I feel that a lot of these social networking sites and a lot of these apps are so negative. And I think, I remember posting something online about, I think, George Floyd, and someone was like, he should have been dead. They should have killed him. I mean, we're in a world you can express yourself. Freedom of speech doesn't have to be so darn negative. Everything. I'm just tired of.
And can we slow that one down? Mm-hmm. I don't mean to interrupt, but can we slow that one down? Because we're right now experiencing a George Floyd energy. So what is it that you said that prompted the person to say that? Or were you campaigning? Can you kind of explain that a little bit? Because I know that that's one of Judge's hot topics as well. So he probably has an opinion regarding what you're going to say as well.
I said we still have to get three more, right? You know, one person, but we still have to get three more. And it's bigger than George Floyd. It's what about all the people that haven't gotten justice? What about the people today? I mean, so I put this on social media, and some woman said George Floyd should be dead and everyone who's died by the hands of cops should have died. And so I was going to go after her, but I was like, you know what? I'm not giving my energy over to her. I'm not giving my energy over to ignorance. I don't need to, right? And that is the point of this mental health app. It's not all just kumbaya and all niceness. It's about a place where you can share your stories, express yourself, support, and really talking about real things and the truth. And not in a negative way, but in a way that you need to hear it.
So I want to ask you, as a celebrity, how do you separate mm-hmm. your brand from the beautiful chaos, a.k.a. social media? Because where we are, cancel culture is real. So how do you proceed? What advice do you have for our listening audience who are afraid to be fearless because they're afraid of censorship, they're afraid of people canceling them, they're afraid of it affecting their money, their brand, et cetera, et cetera?
I love that. That's a great question. I think you have to know how to cut out the noise, right? So there will be noise no matter what. You have to learn how to compartmentalize. So, you know, Oprah said this a long time ago, if you're not ready to hear noise, you're not ready for success. Because everyone will have something to say. Everyone. I mean, when you're doing good, they have something to say. When you're doing bad, they have something to say. So don't worry about that. Just do you. And it took me a while to get there. But what I realized is that while I'm out there working hard on TV or doing something, someone else is trolling, sitting at home, just saying negative stuff. You know, they're sitting at home not loving themselves, overweight, and just talking about people. And I'm not in the business of that. I'm too busy to sit here and waste my time on that. You know?
Yeah.
That's a good position to have.
Judge,
that's a good position to have.
Do you have anything to say?
Well, let me explain my position on George Floyd. 50 years from now, one of my great-great-grandchildren is around studying this in school, and he or she says to the teacher, there's nothing in American history that mentions anybody black except Martin Luther King for the holiday. There are no acts in the whole history of the country that say colored, Negro, black, Afro, or African-American. Why did they pick this guy to name the only act in the history of the American nation after? Mm-hmm. He was a drug addict. He's 6 feet seven, 250 pounds, and a 5 foot 8 inch tall, 135 pound white man without using the gun killed him. Why do we have his name on the first bill that has somebody besides Dr. King's name on it? See, why pick him when we have all these other people who have died? Why don't you just call it the Police Reform Act instead of trying to hustle up a few extra votes by blowing a dog whistle to get black people to respond? We named it after a black man. Yeah, but wow, come on. I don't think he should have been killed. Wrong. It's just kind of embarrassing. What about the guy who was sitting in his car with his hands on the steering wheel? His girlfriend was taping it, and the cop just shot him because he told him he had a pistol in the car because he had a permit. Well, the guy who was trying to flag down the cop and this coward woman down here in Oklahoma shot him to death because he needed help with a flat tire. See, what about those guys? What about Emmett Till? What about, since he did a lot for justice reform, Justice Thurgood Marshall, Malcolm X, Huey P. Newton, all of these people, and you name it after George Floyd, an embarrassment? See, it wasn't like he did like some people. He really manned it out. It wasn't like he got jumped horribly. It was just, you know, you got a fatal dose of fentanyl in you, almost. So why do we pick him? What are they doing to do that, to take advantage of this need for approval that so many people have to go along with their low self-esteem and their inability to confront adversity?
Right.
Judge, can you share her what you thought your theory was regarding why they chose George Floyd? You said something very
it's a subtle insult.
It was a unique thought.
It's a subtle insult because what they're doing is associating essentially a negative condition, being a drug abuser, with a black cause. So whenever we want to celebrate the first time somebody black has had anything named after them, it's got a subtle negativity in there that subconsciously and consciously has a very bad impact.
Ms. Shaw, do you care to respond to what he just said?
Yeah, so that's interesting. So your point is that, so yes, so, you know, George Floyd made no, I mean, this movement and his death, unfortunate death, caused sort of a row around the world, but it's tied to drug abuse, drug use, so it's not tied to something positive. So, of course, they can't. So we talk about George Floyd, but then that's a way to put us down. Yeah, but he was a drug abuser. He was a. Is that what we're saying? Is that how you feel?
Mm-hmm.
I love it. No. It's a good way.
55 years ago in the movies and on television, when you talked about young black people, they were in college. They were trying to dress nicely, be about some kind of business, be fathers, be mothers, be political activists. But now they glorify pimps, hoes, drug dealers, burglars, thieves, robbers, murderers, gangsters.
Mm-hmm,
and that's
what
we have put up there for our imagery. So this is just part of it. And why do they have to name it after anybody? Why don't they just say Police Reform Act? Because actually, from what I've been reading, it really doesn't have much to do with police reform. That's what it says, but that's not what it's about.
So how do we change this? What do we do? How do we change it?
Suck it up, buck it up, man up, woman up.
Tensions reached a near historic high between police and the communities they serve this past year since George Floyd's death. Calls for justice. Justice for George Floyd, that was answered. Calls for equality. Calls for police reform. Save for a last-minute surprise, President Biden's goal of passing the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act by the anniversary of his death appears elusive. The act would ban chokeholds and no-knock warrants, set up a national registry of police misconduct, and overhaul qualified immunity, a legal doctrine that protects law enforcement from civil lawsuits.
The only profession that there's no accountability. You know, when we think about what has happened in the state with Dr. Nassar and the doctor up at U of M, we've moved bills to make sure that we have bad actors that are doctors that do anything.
Tyrone Carter spent 25 years with the Wayne County Sheriff's Office. He's now a Democrat state representative for Detroit and says since his time in law enforcement, much has changed.
What hasn't changed is some of the policies. So when are we going to be honest about upgrading these policies to fit the time? Certain things like body cameras. I cannot understand why some departments are resistant to body cameras, because we found in the city of Detroit that body cameras have just dismissed a lot of the charges that, you know, citizens say this happened and the tape is independent.
Roughly 30 states have enacted some version of police reform legislation, 25 of which related to three areas: use of force, duty for officers to intervene, report, or render medical aid in instances of police misconduct, or misconduct reporting and decertification. Michigan is not any of those states, but it's not due to bills not being introduced. Senate Bill 945 would require training on implicit bias and de-escalation techniques for officers. It passed the Republican-controlled Senate unanimously, but stalled in the Republican-controlled House. The Michigan Association of Chiefs of Police opposed it.
For the most part, some of my counterparts, Republican and Democrat, don't see a problem in their communities. So it's one of those not in my backyard. We don't have that problem in my district. Well, it's not about your district. It's about, this is a global issue. It's not just a Michigan issue.
In Detroit, use of force reforms were enacted inside the Detroit Police Department following a consent decree. A judge releasing DPD from federal oversight in August of 2014. And the department has shown ability to police itself, firing two officers for racist Snapchat posts as an example.
After the George Floyd incident, I mean, police, I had some officers tell me that they wouldn't go eat in certain places. They wouldn't, because they were worried about somebody doing something to their food. So we've got to do something to change that. And we have an opportunity to do it in the Michigan State Legislature.
We did reach out to the communications team for House GOP leadership and are waiting to hear back. We also talked to Michigan State Police. Many of the reforms being discussed, from implicit bias training to a ban on chokeholds or officers having to intervene if they see a fellow officer doing something wrong, Michigan State Police say they are already implementing those policy changes.
The Hurricane Report. Write it, take action, maintain freedom. Buy their gear, mugs, hoodies, leggings. They got all kind of stuff, right? The Hurricane Report.